Radio.
Meditations by Father John Vlada.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. My Lord and my God, I firmly believe that you are here, that you see me, that you hear me. I adore you with profound reverence. I ask pardon for my sins and the grace to make this time of prayer fruitful. My Immaculate Mother, Saint Joseph, my Father and Lord, my guardian angel, intercede for me. Lord, every time we come to do our prayer, we invoke at the end our Immaculate Mother. And today we do our prayer on her Immaculate Heart, that heart of Mary which was one with yours and one with ours. We read in the Gospel of Luke in the second chapter that after the shepherds had left Bethlehem after adoring you and telling Mary and Joseph what the angel had told them, Mary kept all these things, pondering them in her heart. Pondering all of these mysteries of your birth, of your divinity and your humanity, in her heart, in that heart of a mother. But not only the heart of a mother, a heart which was immaculate, without any stain of sin. Mary was conceived immaculate in the womb of her mother. There was no original sin in Mary. There was no personal sin throughout her life. The Council of Trent tells us that no one can avoid all venial sins throughout their life without a special grace such as was given to the Blessed Virgin Mary. She had that special grace. But when we look at her virtues, when we look at her heart, we see how much that heart was capable of loving. There was no selfishness. There was no pride. There was no vanity. There was no love for the world. A heart which was free to love God, Lord, to love you who are God, her Son. And she was completely given over to the love of God. We see that in the Annunciation. The angel appears, announces that she is to give birth to a son, should she accept, who will be the very Son of God, who will come to redeem us from our sins. And Mary immediately accepts, after asking the question, how can this be, since I do not know man? And the angel assuring her it will be by the Holy Spirit. She accepts that proposal of God through the angel and answers, behold, I am the handmaid of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word. One with the Father, a heart which is totally given over to God. She accepts that proposal, and in that moment she becomes the very Mother of God. And Lord, you are there in her womb. And then, as any mother, knowing that she is carrying a child, Mary begins to focus on you, to love you. Mothers love their children even before they are born. And they are wondering, will it be a boy? Will it be a girl? What will he or she turn out to be? But that heart of a mother is totally one with the child growing in her womb. And then, Lord, your heart would begin to beat some weeks later. And we can think that, at least figuratively, Mary's heart beat in unison with yours. Those two hearts were already one when you were there in the womb. And always throughout your lives, you and Mary thought alike. You knew what was in the heart of the other. And we go to the presentation of Jesus in the temple when he was 40 days old. And that prophecy of Simeon, who takes you in his arms, and he says, Lord, now let your servant depart in peace, according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light for revelation to the Gentiles, and for glory to your people Israel. Let me go in peace. I have seen the Lord. I have seen the Redeemer, the light of revelation, the one who would redeem his people, who would bring salvation. And then Simeon blesses Mary and Joseph and says to Mary, Behold, this child is set for the fall and rising of many in Israel, and for a sign that is to be spoken against. And a sword will pierce through your own soul also, that thoughts out of many hearts may be revealed. A sword will pierce your heart, your soul. This child of yours is set for the rising and falling of many in Israel. He will be a sign of contradiction, a sign that is spoken against. He will suffer, is what Simeon is implying, speaking by the Holy Spirit. And when Jesus suffers, you, Mary, will suffer too. A sword will pierce through your own soul also. And Mary perhaps would not have understood what that meant, but she accepted that too as the will of God. The sorrow would come later, and indeed she would suffer grievously. And then we can go to the passage, Lord, where you are 12, and Mary and Joseph take you up to Jerusalem, as they did every year. And St. Luke tells us, Now his parents went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of the Passover. And when he was 12 years old, they went up according to custom. And when the feast was ended, as they were returning, the boy Jesus stayed behind in Jerusalem. His parents did not know it, but supposing him to be in the company, they went a day's journey, and they sought him among their kinsfolk and acquaintances. And when they did not find him, they returned to Jerusalem, seeking him. And Lord, we can imagine what went through your mother's heart then. Jesus is lost. Where is he? Not only our boy, but God's son, the one that is to redeem Israel. Where is he? What anguish in a mother's heart when her son is lost. And Lord, we can imagine that you knew what would be going through her heart and that of Joseph. That anxiety, fear, wonderment. Where is Jesus? And Lord, you knew. You were 12. You were just a boy, but you were God. And you were a boy who loved his mother, and you knew what would be going on in her heart. And yet you had to be in Jerusalem, because that was what the Father wanted from you. And then, after 3 days, they found him in the temple, sitting among the teachers, listening to them and asking them questions. And all who heard him were amazed at his understanding and his answers. And when they saw him, they were astonished. And his mother said to him, Son, why have you treated us so? Behold, your father and I have been looking for you anxiously. They were astonished. They were overwhelmed with joy too. Jesus has been found, but he is there talking with those elders, the teachers in the temple, listening to them, but also answering their questions. And they are amazed at your learning, because you are God. But Mary's fear, anxiety, ends when she finally sees you. But she asks first, Your father and I have been looking for you anxiously. Why have you treated us so? And then your answer, how is it that you sought me? Did you not know that I must be in my Father's house? And they did not understand the saying which he spoke to them. And he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was obedient to them. And his mother kept all these things in her heart. That mystery that you knew you had to be with the Father, but the suffering that she and Joseph went through looking for you, and then the joy on finding you. She suffered. A sword was already piercing her heart. Her son was lost. And a sword was piercing your heart because you knew what she and Joseph were suffering. And finally you are reunited. And Mary ponders these things in her heart. Why did he have to be there in the temple? Why did we have to suffer so much? And she accepts it as the will of God because she was always totally given over to doing and accepting the will of God. And then we can go to Cana. The wine has run out. The couple are embarrassed. The guests are disappointed. And Lord, you have not done any miracles. But Mary knows you. She knows you are God. She knows what is in your heart, that you will do a miracle if she asks you. And then she simply says to you, they have no wine. And you answer, what is that to me and to you? My time has not yet come, as if you were rebuffing your mother. But she knows that in your heart you will do that miracle. She doesn't repeat the statement, the request to do a miracle. She simply says to the stewards, do whatever he tells you, knowing that you will do that miracle, and you do it. And you give that wedding couple the joy of the best wine, 6 water pots full. Mary and you knew each other. She knows your heart. Her heart and yours are one. And then we go finally to the cross. And we open the Gospel of St. John to the 19th chapter. Standing by the cross of Jesus were his mother and his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus saw his mother and the disciple whom he loved standing near, he said to his mother, woman, behold your son. Then he said to the disciple, behold your mother. And from that hour, the disciple took her to his own home. But Mary hears those words, woman, behold your son. And she knows that you are dying, but John will become her son. But what a difference. She loses you who are God, the very son that she bore in her womb and gave birth to in Bethlehem. And now in exchange for you, John, a mere mortal, one of your disciples. And she accepts that, and John accepts Mary and looks after her, taking her into his own home. And we can imagine what went through Mary's heart, her mind, watching you suffer that death of crucifixion. She was there for that full 3 hours. If any one of us were asked to watch someone die the death of crucifixion, we could not stand it. We could be there for a short time. We would turn away. We would walk away. We couldn't tolerate watching someone die that horrible, painful death. And Mary is not just someone watching some other person die. She is your mother watching you, her son, die, knowing that you are innocent. There's no reason why you should be put to death for anything. You hadn't committed any crime. And it is the mother watching the son. Any mother watching her son die of crucifixion would suffer unspeakably. And Mary is suffering that. But more than any other mother watching her son, these two persons, Mary and you, are one. Her heart is in yours. You are in hers. And there is no self-love, there is no pride, there is no love for the world to take away the totality of her love for you. And she stands there and she suffers all the more because of that. And she knows what is going on in your heart, not only the physical pain, but the disappointment that Judas, your chosen disciple, has sold you for 30 pieces of silver. That Peter, the rock, would deny you, that all the disciples would flee in the garden. And Lord, you were suffering for all those souls down the ages that would not be saved, in spite of the fact that you were dying for them. You were giving your life for them and suffering so much in doing that. How many down the ages would not be saved? They would not repent of their serious sins at the end and accept your merciful love, as the Catechism says. You were suffering with that thought. Mary was suffering with you. You were suffering at being the one that would stand before the Father, weighed down by all the sins of mankind. He who was without sin was made sin. St. Paul writes, you were made sin, and it was our sins that were nailing you to the cross. And you took that pain upon yourself, but that was the cause of your suffering too. And then, Lord, we can imagine that you were suffering because Mary was suffering. You saw her there. You saw the look in her eyes, that horror, the suffering that she was undergoing, and you suffered for her because you and she were one. And Mary was suffering with all that was going on in your body and in your heart too. What an immensity of suffering she underwent and you underwent at Calvary. And then the soldier comes to pierce your heart after you die. And again we read in St. John's Gospel, since it was the day of preparation, in order to prevent the bodies from remaining on the cross on the Sabbath, for that Sabbath was a high day, the Jews asked Pilate that their legs might be broken and that they might be taken away. So the soldiers came and broke the legs of the first and of the other who had been crucified with him. But when they came to Jesus and saw that he was already dead, they did not break his legs. But one of the soldiers pierced his side with a spear, and at once there came out blood and water. He pierced your side with a spear, and out came those last drops of blood and water. And as St. John writes in his Gospel earlier in the 13th chapter, having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. You loved us to the end. You gave to the last drop of blood and water. And when that sword, that spear, pierced your heart, it pierced Mary's. You were dead. You couldn't feel it. She was alive. And when she saw that, she would have winced. She would have suffered. This sword truly was now fulfilling the prophecy of Simeon. A sword would pierce her heart. How much suffering Mary underwent. And she saw in the blood and the water perhaps what the fathers of the church, the theologians later would see, the sacraments of the Eucharist in the blood, baptism in the water, or even the church flowing from your side. And just as from the side of Adam as he slept, God made Eve, from the side of you as you slept on the cross, God made the church. And you and the church are one. You are the head. The church is your mystical body. The church flowed from your side as you hung on the cross. With all of this suffering, Mary is truly a martyr. A sword truly pierced her heart. St. Bernard comments in a sermon on that topic, "The martyrdom of the Virgin is set forth both in the prophecy of Simeon and in the actual story of our Lord's Passion. The holy old man said of the infant Jesus, 'He has been established as a sign which will be contradicted.' He went on to say to Mary, 'And your own heart will be pierced by a sword.' Truly, O Blessed Mother, a sword has pierced your heart, for only by passing through your heart could the sword enter the flesh of your Son. Indeed, after your Jesus, who belongs to everyone, but is especially yours, gave up his life, the cruel spear, which was not withheld from his lifeless body, tore open his side. Clearly, it did not touch his soul and could not harm him, but it did pierce your heart. For surely his soul was no longer there, but yours could not be torn away. Thus the violence of sorrow has cut through your heart, and we rightly call you more than martyr, since the effect of compassion in you has gone beyond the endurance of physical suffering." The martyrs, one could say, suffered physical suffering, but Mary suffered more than that. She suffered what was in Jesus' heart. She had compassion, which means to suffer with. When we see someone suffering physically, we would sometimes, as a mother, for example, with her child, be willing to exchange places. The mother to suffer instead of the son, so that the son would not have to suffer. The compassion, the suffering in the heart is greater than the physical suffering, and Mary had that compassion. And when the sword pierced your heart, Lord, it pierced hers truly. And St. Bernard then says that Mary is more than martyr, because this moral suffering, this compassion, is even harder to bear than physical suffering. And he goes on, "Or were those words, 'Woman, behold your son,' not more than a word to you, truly piercing your heart, cutting through to the division between soul and spirit? What an exchange! John is given to you in place of Jesus, the servant in place of the Lord, the disciple in place of the Master. The son of Zebedee replaces the Son of God. A mere man replaces God himself. How could these words not pierce your most loving heart when the mere remembrance of them breaks ours? Hearts of iron and stone though they are." And St. Bernard enters into that suffering of Mary, understanding what would have been going on in her heart and what degree of suffering at merely this exchange. She loses Jesus, she gains John, but what an exchange. And it would have made her suffer too. St. Bernard goes on, "Do not be surprised, brothers, that Mary is said to be a martyr in spirit. Let him be surprised who does not remember the words of Paul, that one of the greatest crimes of the Gentiles was that they were without love. That was far from the heart of Mary. Let it be far from her servants." The Gentiles were without love. Mary was with love. Lord, you were. Let that lack of love be far from us, that we love you, that we, like Mary, are one with you, that we suffer with you at Calvary, that when we meditate on the Passion, we enter into your heart, into your mind, and we see Mary there, and we enter into her heart, and we suffer with her, that we have that love. And St. Bernard concludes, "Perhaps someone will say, 'Had she not known before that he would die?' Undoubtedly. Did she not expect him to rise again at once? Surely. And still she grieved over her crucified son? Intensely. Who are you, and what is the source of your wisdom, that you are more surprised at the compassion of Mary than at the passion of Mary's son? For if he could die in body, could she not die with him in spirit? He died in body through a love greater than anyone had known. She died in spirit through a love unlike any other since his. Mary died too in spirit, in soul. This was the immaculate heart of Mary, Lord, that was one with yours. And as Mary loves you and is one with you, she loves us, because we are your body, we are the church, we are your mystical body. And she loves every single one of us, and even those who are not part of your mystical body, who are not baptized, because you were dying for all, you love all, and Mary, as your mother, loves everyone. The hardened sinner, the atheist, the one who denies that you exist. Mary loves this person. Mary feels for this person. This is the heart of a mother. And Lord, you have given her to us in St. John. Help us to take her into our own keeping, as St. John did, to have a big place for her in our heart, because she has a place for us in her heart. To love Mary, to be one with her, as she loves us, as she loves each one of us, in spite of us. And then, because we sin, to try to sin less, because she suffers with our sins. It was our sins that scourged you, that were the crown of thorns, the sword that pierced your heart, the cross on which you hung. It was our sins. Help us to sin less, because those sins pierce her heart too. Help us to be grateful, Lord, that you have given us Mary, that you have shown us how much you love her and how much she loves you. And help us to love her in return, to love you as she did, so that we can be your witnesses to others, to show others how much you love us, how much Mary loves us, and how much Mary loves them, that they can feel that consolation to know that no one is forgotten, no matter how much they suffer. When they suffer, they are with you on the cross, and Mary is there with them too. What a treasure we derive from considering your suffering and Mary's suffering with you, the sword that pierced her heart. Truly, your heart and hers were one. And we ask you, Lord, help us to be one with you, one with Mary, to have a heart that loves. I thank you, my God, for the good resolutions, affections, and inspirations that you have communicated to me in this time of prayer. I ask your assistance in putting them into effect. My Immaculate Mother, Saint Joseph, my Father and Lord, my Guardian Angel, intercede for me.
For more from Father Flada, visit fatherfladablog.com. And for more talks, interviews, and shows, visit cradio.org.au.